Good morning. You red people, you. Thank you to each and every one of you who remembered to wear red. Some remembered specifically and some remembered by accident. But however it came about, good to see everyone. Today is the day within our church calendar when we celebrate Pentecost. And Pentecost, of course, was the time when the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples, the followers of Jesus, and the church universal, was born. So this is the church's birthday, not just our church, the Christian church throughout the world. This is the birthday of the church. And so for the day of Pentecost, we wear red, if we remember. And those who don't remember are with us in spirit. Red in spirit. Two people this morning, two gentlemen have said, "You do not wish to see the red that I am wearing." Our Chippendale model this morning is wearing the latest creation from George and is about to speak to us. Thank you, Bob.
Good morning. Announcements is Joanne Van Arnhem is requesting shoeboxes, lids, Kleenex box, and shallow boxes approximately the size of shoebox lids for one of the VBS credit projects. Please keep this in mind and bring them to church with you. Church picnic on the 17th, Father's Day. Piano lessons in Cremona. If you are interested in piano lessons in Cremona, see our church notice board for a great introductory rate for attendance of our church. Lawnmower needed to help keep our church grounds neat and tidy. Sign-up sheet is in the foyer, or speak with Richard.
Okay, so
there's going to be a toddler shower for my new little niece, Jillian, on the 16th of June here at the church. Ellen and I, and maybe Lori, we haven't talked, Lori and I yet, are going to put this on. And it's just going to be not so much a baby shower with games and stuff, but more a meet and greet with Jillian. And Andy, I think, is going to give a little talk and presentation about her trip over to China. They've got a slideshow that they've already made up that the gal she went with made, and so she can show us pictures of the orphanage that Jillian grew up in and kind of tell us a little bit more about that. It's a fascinating journey that they were on those couple of weeks. So it's June 16th. We're going to do it at 1:30 in the afternoon at the church here. It's just going to be food and fellowship. And if you want to get them anything, please speak to me because I do know a few specifics about that. Thank you.
I just want to say a couple of things myself and expand on a couple of things that Bob's already mentioned. But I think most people are aware that that Peggy is having some surgery. She goes into Calgary tomorrow. And first off, I'm sure that each and every one of you will very much have Peggy and the family in your prayers. She's a staunch servant of our church congregation, has been for many, many, many years. And over the next few weeks, we don't know how long it's going to take, this procedure that Peggy's having done and her recovery from it. And so during the coming weeks, there's going to be some differences in the music here in the church. And at this time, I would just say to you, if you have some hidden talents in connection with music, whether it be organ, whether it be piano, whether it be some other musical instrument, and you would like to participate in the worship music in our church, then make yourself known. Talk to me, talk to the elders, talk to our musical people, talk to Kathy, talk to Pat, you know, talk to anyone who's involved in music, and the Lord will take your talents and magnify them, and we can all enjoy them and participate with you in worship. So if you would like to participate in our church music over the next little while, then please make it known. we can use your talents, and the church would celebrate with you in your talents. Now then, Bob mentioned VBS, Vacation Bible School, which is coming up. And Chelsea and Sharon, who are to be running our Sunday school as well as Vacation Bible School, came to our elders' meeting yesterday. And after they'd eaten all of our chocolate biscuits and drank all of our coffee, they told us some exciting news about Vacation Bible School, and they really are enthused about it, and we as a church family should be enthused with them. They're going to do a little thing. Let me get this name right. The characters are called the Wemmicks. Who's familiar with the Wemmicks? It's a Max Lucado. Max Lucado creation, and he's a great Christian writer. And Vacation Bible School is going to be based on these characters, the Wemmicks. The little wooden characters that were created by the woodcarver, who's called Eli. And they've got four exciting days planned for Vacation Bible School. It is July the 16th to the 19th, but they need some helpers. They need some helpers with this. And so if you'd like to help in any shape or form whatsoever, and it's going to be kind of old-fashioned where we have cookies and people bring cookies in and all that kind of stuff, so you can start thinking in terms of what you'd like to bring in for the kids and the helpers to eat. Think about that, and think about if you'd like to help practically here within the church in that week. It's morning time only. It's 9 in the morning to around about midday, 12:30, something like that. But this is the Wemmicks, and this particular one that Grant's got on the screen now is You Are Special, and that's day one. That would be day one of Vacation Bible School, and it's about these Wemmicks. I'd never heard of Wemmicks prior to yesterday, but now I have a book. And I'm getting genned up on the Wemmicks. So that's Vacation Bible School. Now also, the same two girls are going to be running the Sunday School for the coming year. And if you would like to participate and help in the Sunday School, they've got a great program all planned, ready to go. Again, they are very enthusiastic about it. And their enthusiasm will rub off on you if you talk to them about it. And they would like, I'm sure, to use your help. Now then, Courtney, do you want to say anything about your people that you're selling? See, she's got people for sale and she doesn't even realise that.
The youth group is still for sale. They've been hoping to work for people in the congregation this spring to raise money just for our youth group. You can talk to me after church if you would like one of the individuals, the lovely individuals. I'll give you their contact information, and then you can get a hold of them to work for
There you go. The response last week to Courtney's announcement about the slave auction, if you want to call it that, was very good. She's only got four left, so if you want to get one of the youth doing some work for you and by which you can contribute to their good work, then, you know, call a Courtney after the service. Incidentally, when I get through doing all this talking, we're going to celebrate May birthdays. So if you had a birthday in May and you want to celebrate with your church family, prepare you either way. Get yourself ready. The last thing I want to speak about is just briefly mention the church picnic. The church picnic, Bob mentioned it, it's on June the 17th, which is Father's Day. It is booked for the Big Prairie Hall, which is where we've been the last couple of years. Last year the sun shone. Can you remember that? Of course you can. It's so rare at our church picnic that we all remember. So that's at the Big Prairie Hall. It's booked. And the help that we will specifically need at the church picnic is for the clean-up afterwards. Okay? We've already got volunteers to go out and set the thing up beforehand, but there's work involved afterwards in clearing up. So if you could bear that in mind, clean up after the church picnic, that needs to be done. And once again, you all look so pretty in red. Let's celebrate May birthdays, or before that, if you had a birthday before.
Sweeter as beautiful one.
many happy returns to all of our birthday people. We wish you many, many more happy and pleasant ones. And now we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit fills each and every one of us on this glorious day of Pentecost. Susan, over to you. Susan and Kathy will do our choruses for us. Thank you. Come on, my little songster.
Good morning. We're going to start this morning with How Majestic Is Your Name. So please stand.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord.
The next one we're going to do is Thy Word. It's a slower one.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Will love you to the end.
That was great. Thank you. Just a back up to that song. I was at a Michael W. Smith concert here about 3 weeks ago, and that is a song that he and Amy Grant wrote together. And it really spoke to me that night as our family is in transition with Jillian's arrival and anticipating Nana's surgery tomorrow and all the uncertainties that surround kind of both of those things. And it just was a song that spoke to my heart about how God just knows, and his word tells us to trust in him, and that's what we have to do. So, and our last one is In His Time.
So let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you that each and every one of us here today has heard your voice as you spoke to us and you called us to come together to be in this place, to be amongst this great, wonderful fellowship, to feel this wonderful love that you give to us and which we share with one another. And we pray, Holy Father, that as we worship you on this glorious day of Pentecost, that you will touch every heart, that you will touch every life, that we may be touched by the power and the grace of your Holy Spirit as we worship you this day. We ask you, Father, to open our hearts, to open our minds, to bless each and every one of us, to speak to each and every one of us. And we pray, Holy Lord, that you will accept the praise we bring. For we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and then 12 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit had enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Responsive reading comes from Psalm 104, verse 24, 30 to 35. "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God, for I have my need.
May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Presenting our special music for us this morning, we are delighted to have Cam Reid along. And Cam, I don't know whether he's... Are you going to do an introduction to this, Cam?
Yeah.
Splendid. That saves me having to do it. He forgot his jacket today, so I thought I'd lend him mine.
You have to realize that I do my own laundry, and everything gets all thrown in one. So if it wasn't black before, it's black when it's done. So. How's everybody's week going? Everybody have a good week? Some of us didn't have maybe too good a week. But the song that I'm going to sing... It's about a song about a little girl that didn't really have a good time, but Jesus was always there for her. And you know what? Here we are today. We made it through the week. Good or bad, we're here. Anyways, hope you guys like this song. I like singing songs that mean something to me. If it doesn't mean anything, I can't really put my heart into it. So, anyways, I hope you guys like this song.
Comes the pause. Did I bring the right CD?
Her parents never took the young girl to church, never spoke of his name, never read of his word. to non-believers walking lost in this world, took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs, never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on that couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out. And the drinking and the fighting just got worse every night. Behind their couch she'd be hiding. Oh, what a sad little life. And like it always does, the bad just got worse with every slap and every curse. Until her daddy, in a drunk rage one night, used a gun on her mom and then took his life. Then some people from the city took the girl far away to a new mom and a new dad. Kisses and hugs every day. Her first day at Sunday school, the teacher walked in, and a small little girl stared at a picture of him. She said, I know that man up there on that cross. I don't know his name, but I know he got off. 'Cause he was there in my old house, held me close to his side as I hid there behind our couch the night that my parents died.
We are grateful to come for that beautiful piece that he sung there, and quite a story. Thank you, Cam, that's great. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received, and I just want to mention sharing her musical talents today. We have Sophie. Sophie's going to play for us, so we're going to enjoy that right now. Thank you.
Thank you. take your bow. You did beautifully. Well done. Thank you. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your blessings that you so freely shower down upon us. And we come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to take these gifts, to take the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Good to see you all here. Who likes playing with balloons? Everybody does, yeah? What shape balloons do you like playing with the best? What shape? Sorry? Long ones, where you twist into shapes. Yeah, they're good, aren't they? You can make hats and dogs and all kinds with them. Yep. Anybody else like any other shape?
Luke? Punchy balloons.
Punchy balloons. So what shape are they? When you get done with them, they're not in very good shape, either when you punch them. Yep. What shape do you like?
Circle ones.
Circle ones. I'm glad you came today. I have here a balloon. Now then, what shape do you think this balloon is going to be?
An egg.
An egg. Okay. A circle, an egg. Or round, perhaps. We don't know, do we, until we blow it up. Until we blow this thing up, we don't know. Now, the good thing about round balloons or circle balloons is you can bounce them, can't you? When you throw them on the ground, they bounce. Yeah. So, watch this. Oh. What's wrong with it? I think it's dead. I think I've got a dead balloon here. What do I have to do to bring this balloon back to life? I've got to blow it up. What with? With my breath. Well, I'll try. I'm not very good at this. Are you ready? It's round. We're getting there. It's still not doing anything, is it? How do I make this balloon come to life? Well, if I tie it up, it's not going to do anything, is it?
Let go.
What do you think will happen? It came to life, didn't it? Now, if I wanted to bring it back to life, what would I have to do now? I'd have to put some more breath into it, wouldn't I? What am I telling you about here? What's this really about? Today is the day of
Pentecost.
And what happened to Pentecost?
Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and he breathed the Holy Spirit into the church, and we were ready to celebrate because it came down like fire and wind, okay? And so Jesus breathed the breath of life, and the church was born, and he released it, and it went... And on that first day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people joined the new church. And it's our birthday today. This is when we celebrate the birth of the church. And that's what I was doing with that balloon. And that's what it was all about. So when you see red balloons, think, this is the church. This is Christ's church. And he breathed the breath of life into it. And it went... That's right. Blew up, did it? Okay. Let's say a little prayer and then Kathy will have us a little song, I think. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you gave us a church to come to. This is your church, Lord. It is full of your Spirit. And we pray that we, your people, may also be full of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Kathy.
This next hymn that we are about to sing, it's number 87, it's May Jesus Christ Be Praised. And I understand that this particular hymn is a great favourite with the Dutch community. So I understand. And so I am going to ask the Dutch community to help us to sing this hymn. So would every gentleman and lady who has any connections whatsoever with Holland, please come up and join me. Come on. Come on, don't be shy. I need some ladies and I need some men. And... You're a Dutchman? Of course you are. Van Arnhem. Come along, Charles. ladies at this side, gentlemen at the far side.
Gentlemen.
Oh, boy, we just stepped up in the raw.
Ladies at this side. Okay. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to sing this hymn. Oh, here's John coming. Wow, well, the men are powerful here. Does anybody have any remote connections to Holland who can come and help the ladies? Anybody want to? Kathy, you help the ladies. Kathy Van Reed. Kathy Van Reed will come over here. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to sing four verses. First verse, we all sing together, okay? The second verse, the Dutch ladies will lead the ladies of the church family to sing the second verse, okay? Third verse, the Dutchman here will lead the men of the congregation in singing that third verse. And the last verse, we all sing together. Does everybody understand those rules? You lip sync, Charlie. We stand and sing to God's glory. The hymn 87, May Jesus Christ Be Praised. All together, first verse.
When morning gilds the stars, my heart.
job, everybody. Thank you. Well done. Good job. If we all secretly practice the next hymn, we come to our time of prayer. And on this Pentecostal Sunday, when the Church Universal was born, the Church Universal, all denominations throughout the world, I'd like us to keep in our hearts and in our minds those divisions of Christ's Church which are in countries where people cannot freely worship, where they must worship underground, as it were. And I think particularly of the Church in China. There are lots of Christians in China, and they must worship underground. And not just China. There's others, of course. There's other countries where Christians are persecuted for their faith, as were the early church, the church that was born at that time of Pentecost. And so, in your own private devotions, perhaps this coming week, that you would keep in your hearts, in your prayers, Christ's Church throughout the world, and pray especially for those who are persecuted. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, by the presence of your Holy Spirit, you empower your church to be your living daily presence in this your world. And on this special day, we remember and we give thanks for the amazing and powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill your church once again with that same flame of enthusiasm, with your living and mighty word, that it may be spoken and that lives and souls may be saved as the miraculous power and peace of the Holy Spirit moves throughout this world. Father, we ask for the peace of your Spirit upon those especially who struggle with life, for those who are in sorrow, for those who suffer and are restricted by disease or old age, and for those whose loneliness seems to never end. And we are conscious, Father, of friends here in our own church family who have needs that perhaps we can help with, Lord. May your Spirit direct and inspire us as we bring before you now, Lord, here in the silence and in the beauty of holiness, those whom you have laid upon our hearts to care about, to worry about, to pray about. We whisper their names now. Father, as we pray for those of our church family who we are concerned about at this time, all of us, Lord, think about Peggy. And we think about the anxiety which is upon her heart and her mind at this time as she prepares to go forward to surgery. We lift her up to you, Lord, and we pray that you will bless her, that you will grant to her your peace which passeth all understanding. We ask for her, Lord, for your healing touch, for your peace in her heart, in her mind, in her body, and in her soul. And Father, as we pray for those in need, we also give thanks for those whose lives have experienced the miracle of your healing presence. Those who have discovered the strength and blessings of joy in their lives. We thank you, Father, and we pray that they may share their good medicine with those around them, especially those who know no joy. Lord, your Holy Spirit comes
to us as a comforter. And we ask for comfort and blessings for all of your people in their life struggles and in their despair. And we thank you, Lord, especially on this day for your church universal throughout the whole world. And we think especially, Lord, for those areas of the world where people are persecuted indeed for being part of your church here on earth. We pray, Lord, that you will give to them strength, that you will sustain them, that the power of your Spirit will uplift them and will reach out from them and touch the lives of many. Father, on this Pentecostal Sunday, we pray that your Spirit will move amongst us and touch the lives of the uncommitted, touch the lives who linger on the outskirts of faith, who need to make clear-cut decisions about their relationship with you. And we pray, Father, for those who have wandered from your presence, seeking those things that the world cannot provide. Our prayer, Lord, is that they may discover a new day in their faith journey. We thank you again, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy, for every blessing received, and for those blessings awaiting us just beyond this moment. Lord, grant us your blessed presence as we go forward into a new week. Watch over us, watch over our families, and protect us from all that would harm us. And in everything, Lord, we pray, in everything we say, and in everything we do, we pray, Lord, that we may lift high the name of Jesus, and may we bring honor and glory to your blessed and holy name. We ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord. I don't know whether you need those, Corinne, but there's the words, though.
Good morning. Our Gospel reading is from John chapter 15, reading verses 26 and 27, and then chapter 16, reading verses 4 to 15. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And the gospel is from Paul's letter to the Romans, reading chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
And thanks to Corinne for those readings from the scriptures. And now we're going to sing again. And Cathy, all on her own, will lead us in the singing of the hymn 250, Come Holy Spirit. Thanks, Cathy. Beautiful hymn, beautifully sung. Well done. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. One day, a violent tornado struck their house. And this tornado was the strongest wind in fictional history. This powerful wind hits the house and takes Dorothy and her little dog Toto to an entirely new world. There is not one single thing in this new world that resembles the world in which she previously lived. In this new world, there is immense beauty, of which she has never dreamed. There is also danger, Along the way, Dorothy develops friendships with a scarecrow who needs a brain, a tin man who wants a heart, a cowardly lion who desperately needs courage. And these four, along with Toto, have a great adventure. And by the time that Dorothy eventually gets home, she learns many, many lessons of life. Our reading from the book of Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, begins with the sound of a violent wind. But this violent wind is in the real world. It's not in the world of fiction. But no damage is recorded. Nevertheless, the wind filled the room where Jesus' followers are gathered. And although they did not realize it at the time, this wind would carry them on an adventure that would last for the rest of their lives. An adventure that they would find both fascinating and frightening, delightful and dangerous, life-changing and life-surrendering. And this event, this one event, wouldn't only change their lives, but it would change the world. This is God's world. This is God's world, and God shapes his world as he needs it to be. The day of Pentecost was a very important Jewish holy day. It was the festival of weeks, when the Jews celebrated God's giving to them the Torah on Mount Sinai, the Mosaic Law, what we know as the Ten Commandments. And this was a huge celebration for the Jewish people. And the city of Jerusalem would be absolutely filled with Jews from every known nation in the world at that time. They all came. This is how big this festival was. And when they heard the sound of this violent and mighty wind, and then the disciples speaking to them in their own languages, they were bewildered. The place was teeming with people from all over the world. And can you imagine? Try to visualize the United Nations. Only one person is speaking, yet everyone in the room hears in their own language. But they do so because they've got headphones on and they've got interpreters interpreting what's being said to them. Same thing here, but no headphones, no interpreters, only the presence of God's mighty and powerful and Holy Spirit. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our own native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" What a good question. What does this mean? What it means that God is present. This is God's world, and God is moving with power, reshaping his world. No other explanation for Pentecost. God is present. The wind, the tongues of fire, people hearing the good news in their own languages. This is a world-changing event. This is God's world. God does what God needs to do, that his will be done. And God was giving birth to his church, to his new church. His church that is destined to sweep across the whole world. So, do you think it was a coincidence that this miracle occurred at this particular time, when Jews from every nation were present in Jerusalem? Of course it wasn't a coincidence. This was part of God's plan. This is God's world. God was preparing the way for his gospel to enter every land, to enter every nation of the world. We are part of a universal faith, and that is exactly what God intended. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 10-11,
St. Paul tells us that at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee. Not just every Western knee. Not just every Caucasian knee. Not just every Bible Belt knee. But every knee on this earth will bow at the name of Jesus. Now that is not just wishful thinking. It is prophecy being fulfilled even as we speak. Prophecy of the word of God. God's word is real, and every word from the mouth of God is fulfilled. Every prophecy fulfilled. Of the world's 6 billion people, there are 2 billion Christians. One third of the world's population are now Christians. Now you may think from time to time that Christ's church is shrinking, it is evaporating, it is disappearing. But you would be wrong. In Latin America, there are 480 million Christians right now and growing. 480 million Christians. In Asia, 313 million Christians. In Africa, 360 million Christians. Central and South America is in the last generation have experienced an explosion in Christian converts. And in Asia, China continues to be the big, big story. Dr. David Aikman, in his book Jesus in Beijing, he estimates that there are currently 100 million Christians in China. Most of them worship in underground churches. They are persecuted. Really persecuted. And that's why we need to pray for them. We pray for them, and we pray for every branch of Christ's church throughout the world that is persecuted. We are part of a universal church movement. All kinds of denominations, all kinds of different people in all different countries of the world. It is no accident, it was no accident that the Spirit of God fell upon the church on this particular day, Pentecost, when so many foreigners were present in Jerusalem. This is God's world. This was God's plan all along. All the world's people will someday be God's people. That is the promise of Scripture. This is the word of God. This is God's world. We are God's people. All together. All of us. And changing the world begins with changing individual people. And that is what happened to Jesus' disciples. There were those in the crowd, of course, who, you know, the smart alecks who make fun of everything that goes on. And there are cynics in every crowd. And they instantly stepped forward and said, these guys are drunk. They're drunk. They've been drinking. But of those disciples, just look who it was who stepped up and put the cynics right. Simon Peter. Prior to this, most times that Peter opened his mouth, he put his foot in it. He said something wrong, he did something wrong, he fell apart, but this time he got it right. Somehow his foot-in-the-mouth disease has been cured at this moment. Peter is uncharacteristically eloquent. He raises his voice, he addresses the crowd, and he says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." And then he quotes the prophet Joel. "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And on this day, prophecy is again fulfilled. Peter spoke. The crowd listened. And it wasn't just Peter. Doubting Thomas became dynamic Thomas. And all the other disciples were changed people. They were suddenly eloquent. They were suddenly bold. They were suddenly had power. The power of the Spirit was upon them. They were transformed by God's Holy Spirit. What a start to Christ's church here on earth. 3,000 on that one day were added to their numbers. 3,000. That is the power of God's Spirit. And there can be no doubt that something miraculous happened on that first day of Pentecost. Something that could only come from God. Only God could do this. This is God's world. God moves by His Spirit through His world. His Holy Spirit descended upon a group of very ordinary people and transformed them and used them in a very extraordinary way. Think of the disciples. None of them were high-powered executives. None of them were superstars from sporting world or entertainment world. None of them were high-ranking government officials. They were very ordinary people with ordinary dreams. And they were changed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Then, because of Pentecost, they proceeded to turn the world upside down. Our image of the Holy Spirit tends to be that of a dove. And we have that image because of Jesus' experience at his baptism. When the scriptures tell us that the Spirit descended as a dove upon him. But you know, Celtic Christians chose not the dove, but the wild goose as a symbol representing the Holy Spirit. The wild goose. We see a lot of them around, don't we? It may seem strange to us, but it has a long tradition in Ireland. So whilst the Roman Catholic Church the Roman Church imagined the Holy Spirit in the form of a peaceful and graceful dove, the ancient Celts understood the Holy Spirit to be like a wild goose. When you visualize the Holy Spirit descending upon you like a heavenly dove, you can almost hear the harps playing and the strings, and you get that peaceful feeling. But the image of a wild goose descending upon you is a different matter altogether, right? A wild goose is a noisy and a bothersome bird. And the image of the Holy Spirit, this image of the Holy Spirit, it kind of jars us out of our complacency when we think of the Holy Spirit, of this peaceful dove. When the Spirit of God comes in the Bible, He never comes in a sweet and a safe manner. God's Spirit calls people to speak in words that are bold and often very dangerous to them, in situations that are dangerous to them. John the Baptist, eating locusts and dressed in his camel hair coat, proclaimed, "I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire." And with fire. The Spirit is neither safe nor tame. The Spirit baptizes with wind and with fire. Poet William Blake wrote about Pentecost in this way. He said, "Unless the eye catch fire, God will not be seen. Unless the ear catch fire, God will not be heard. Unless the tongue catch fire, God will not be named. Unless the heart catch fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catch fire, God will not be known." Two men stood talking as a church was burning, as it was being consumed by fire. One says to the other guy, "This is the first time I ever saw you at church." And the other replied, "This is the first time I ever saw the church on fire." Power. Power can be used in different ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. If you took a 10-gallon can of gasoline and threw a match in it, It can be released explosively. Boom, it would explode and pow, there'd be a mighty explosion. But if you took that same 10-gallon can of gasoline and put it into a car's gas tank, it will work through that car engine in a controlled burn, and it can be used to transport people 350 miles, 480 kilometres, I think. Explosions are spectacular, but controlled burns have a lasting effect. They have staying power. And at Pentecost, we saw the Holy Spirit, first of all, explode in a powerful and a mighty manner. 3,000 people came to the Lord on that one day. 3,000 souls saved. But since that time, God continues to work in a controlled burn right throughout the world. His Spirit is touching people. The controlling and careful power of the Spirit is being tapped. And it works all the time. Through worship, fellowship and service, Christians are energized with the power through His Holy Spirit. And it's His power and His Spirit that energizes each and every one of us. Sometimes it explodes. Not very often. But mostly it is controlled. And that is the Spirit working through you and I. May His Spirit be upon His church throughout the world, in however the Lord chooses to use it. And may His Spirit be upon this part of His church, our church family. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first of all, we stand and we sing to God's glory the hymn number 249, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. We stand and sing to His glory.
And strength.
usual 3:12 to be God's people, but slightly differently. We'll sing the first verse as normal, and with Laurie's permission, I'll ask us to sing the second verse unaccompanied. 312 to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this a prayer to be God's people. Children that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace, proclaim God's mercy through His Son, be His love to everyone.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, and with all whom we love this day, and forevermore. Amen.